Hello there, Kiki here.
And Jennifer.
You're welcome to another episode of Let's Controverse. On this episode, we'll be focusing on mental health. Mental Health Awareness Week in the UK, I believe, was last week. It just ended about 2 days ago, I think on the 16th. And we're just going to touch on ways mental health has become more, you know, people have become more vocal about mental health in Nigeria and the world at large. Mm-hmm. I remember then being the time where people would say, oh, you're depressed. Yeah, in Nigeria, can you say you're depressed? Only white people get depressed, this and that.
And people always feel like being depressed always relates to maybe like physical stuff or material stuff. Mm-hmm. They'll be like, oh, you're depressed because you don't have money.
Mm-hmm.
You're depressed because you don't have this or you don't have that.
Yeah.
And then if you're somebody that has experienced like both sides of everything, you realize that depression, like real clinical, because okay, so we have depression that is just diagnosed when you say, oh, maybe you just feel sad about something. Mm. And you just translate it to being depressed. Oh, I'm depressed. And there's clinical depression. It's actually an illness.
Yeah.
When you're depressed and you're diagnosed as being depressed, you're sad.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to go out. You don't want to socialize with other people. You stop doing the things that you love doing. You're just, you know, locked up in your shell.
Yeah.
So if you've been on both sides of having things that you've always wanted and not having things that you realize that depression has nothing to do with the things you have.
Yeah.
So people that say, oh, you're depressed because you don't have money. When you have the money, trust me, if you're really depressed,
you are depressed.
The money is not going to take it away.
Yeah. So that's the depression whereby you don't know why you're sad. You're just sad. You're okay. Just weighed down. You're just like a shadow of yourself. Okay. So I have a friend. He's a doctor.
Okay.
He's not a practicing doctor, but he's a doctor.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, he just like disappeared from the face of the earth. But I just thought maybe because he's not really good with chatting, he's not really on social media, just once in a blue moon. So I just thought, just the way he does his thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I also realized, wow, this guy is too, I mean, usually really talk, and I'm like, this is weird. And I even got upset. I'm like, how will you just disappear like that and, you know, not even check on me either, because I always check on you.
And that's another mistake we make.
We
just get angry.
We got upset. And I was like, you should do better now. And then he tells me that he was diagnosed as depressed by his friend who is also a doctor, because he just was not himself anymore. And this was like for like 3 months.
Yeah.
And I felt really bad, obviously, because I'm like, and I felt bad because I have been there before.
Mm.
Although mine wasn't clinical depression, mine was self-diagnosed, but I knew because I knew why I was being depressed.
Okay.
Why I was feeling depressed rather.
Mm-hmm.
So in my own case, there was something I went through, like, let me say it's 3 years ago. I don't want to portray someone the whole
details,
go into details. But I didn't even know I was depressed, that's a funny thing. That was a period where people didn't really know that being depressed doesn't necessarily mean that, oh, you want to just commit suicide. You know, that's like,
people feel like until it gets to that
suicide,
point,
then it's depression.
Yeah.
So to me, I didn't think I was
suicide is depressed. The final stages of depression.
Yeah,
that's
like
the height of it.
Exactly. And my own symptoms were that I was not eating me with a chop.
Yeah.
I wasn't eating. Literally, I wasn't eating and I wasn't hungry. I wasn't feeling hungry. I would just probably just eat something just because, put something in your stomach.
Yeah.
I wasn't sleeping. I had crazy insomnia. I was like a shadow of myself. People in the office, my friends were like, are you okay? And I'm like, I'm fine. Another reason why my own case was something that I will say, or I was lucky to know why I was feeling that way, because you know it's worse when you don't know why you're feeling the way you're
mm-hmm.
feeling and you feel
mm-hmm.
there's no solution to that. But I knew there was a solution to mine. I was just being, you know, stubborn about it. And how I got out of that was that I spoke to my friend. I opened up to my friend and I opened up to my mom.
Okay.
And opening up to my mom then was like, for me to have opened up to her, I knew that I needed to talk to somebody, because my mom and I were not that close then.
Okay.
And it was something that I felt, it was pretty much something that I was kind of like ashamed of talking about. But
it was weird, like
it
a
was
weird conversation.
She was worried, and I'm like, okay, mommy, this, and that. And after I spoke to her, I felt like all the weight being lifted off my shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
It was a relief. So I'll stay, for me, that's what like got me out of it, talking to someone. I knew I had to talk to someone.
Sure.
I knew. And then I knew I had to take some steps towards making sure that I didn't make the same mistakes that led me to what I was going through.
So for me, I feel like some people talking to someone, okay, I honestly don't want to talk about
my own experience
because I don't feel like I'm at the point where I need to like talk about it. But yeah, I had like clinical depression, like
diagnosis.
I even had to take like medication at some point. Yeah, people are always like, "Oh, why are you taking drugs?" Well, see, if you have malaria,
you take medicine.
Hmm. Yeah, so yeah, the drugs can have like very, very adverse side effects. But at the end of the day, if it will help you at some point, then you should just probably take it.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like people always say, talk about it. Now, talking about it has two sides. You talk about it to the right people.
Exactly.
The people that are actually listening to you.
And won't judge you and would just like be
so
there
for me, talking about it didn't help.
Why?
Because I kept talking about it to the people that were not listening. They were not listening. You know, sometimes people tell you things they feel that you want to hear.
Mm-hmm.
They're not listening to you.
Yeah.
They just tell you know that they are telling you these things because, okay, let me not act like I'm not concerned about what you're saying.
Yeah.
You understand? Like, they just tell you, oh, it's in your mind. You know? And in my head, I'm like, I know it's just like telling me that, oh, there's a supreme being that controls the earth. Clearly, you can see that there's a supreme being.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, you need to give me, like, facts, solid facts. So, you're telling me it's in my mind. Excuse me, do you think I want to be sad?
You think I just woke up, I'm like, I'm sad today.
You know, exactly. Like you don't, you tell, they'll tell you, oh, it's in your head, you know. And then you keep hearing the same things over and over.
And your own case you more do not know why you are feeling depressed.
Okay, so along the line, because I actually had therapy as well. Along the line, I figured that they are always triggers. No matter, a lot of people don't know, but even when you can't explain why you're depressed, there's always something that triggers you.
Yeah.
So if you're able to snap out of the depression state, like when you feel something later, and then you find yourself going back there, there was something that triggered you. You just need to find out. It could even be the most stupid thing.
That's another mistake people make. When they hear why you're triggered, they tend to make it
trivialize
seem like
it. Yes. So I'll give you an instance. I realized that my depression started way earlier before I realized it. Like, it has started way, because I'm a very sensitive person naturally. So everything gets to me. So it was a pileup of trying to be strong, you know, the whole idea that people tell you that, oh, you can't always allow things get to you. You can't
really
always
you
be
can't
distance.
Allow things get to
well,
you.
Well, no, at some point, if you try to be too strong,
you need to feel all the feels
yes,
sometimes.
Feel it. It's not like no, the mistake is people tell you you can't always allow things get to you. I don't agree. I feel you can let things get to you, but
manage
don't dwell on it.
Manage how you react.
Manage your expectations, exactly. So mine started at a very... There was a day a friend of mine, I was talking to a friend like on video call and I was in my room at home. And the person was like, because I told that friend about how I used to feel. This was way back before I even realized that I was actually depressed and everything. And the person was like, the color of your room is blue. And I'm like, yeah. The person was like, I think you should repaint your room. And then in my head, I was like, repaint my room, why? So I was like, okay, that he, from his own experience, he knows that your ambience, your environment can contribute to
Definitely.
How you're feeling and everything. So
Definitely.
In my head, I was like, repaint my room, okay. So now the color of my room is white. And I noticed that there was a huge difference.
Once you walk in, there's like an aura.
Do you understand?
Yeah.
So it could be... I'm just trying to say
yeah.
it could be the smallest things that are triggering
contributing to the depression.
So I realized that I was always, you know, the kind of person that always wanted to make people see me as a good person. I don't know how to explain
it. Trying to
not please,
well, not
to trying,
please,
to,
but
yes.
trying to
I always wanted okay, so a friend of mine would tell
everyone.
Me you always want to be in the right of everybody's books.
Mm.
So he says something in Yoruba, he'd be like, Shebi Olorunbuku sometimes, like, behave like a nuisance
sometimes.
Crazy. Like, sometimes. It's allowed,
needed.
Like, you need to. But me, I'm the kind of person that always wanted to be good in everybody's books. Like, even if we have a misunderstanding, I want to, you know, sort it out. And it's like, no, like, you don't need to do that with everybody. So you need to talk to people that are listening and giving you advice that will help.
And that's why I said, for me, it worked for me. And it because took you a while talked, for me to decide
thank you. To talk to. So right. For me, the hard experiment, because I'm not very close to everybody in my family, just my siblings. And my mom can't have that mother-daughter conversation because we didn't start it.
Yeah.
It was never really like that. So there was a day I went home, 7 a.m. in the morning. I woke up that day and I was feeling my, like, I'd had it. And I was like, okay. People always say, oh, when you go home, when you speak to family, you feel better and everything. And then I went home, 7 a.m. in the morning. My friend, I've never gone to my house by 7 a.m. in the morning before. So I got home and my dad was having his bath. He came out with soap. I was like, what are you doing here by 7 a.m. in the morning? Like, my mom is a very strong woman. So her opinions are always different. So she was like, she first asked me, are you pregnant? Did somebody jilt you? I'm not joking.
Wow.
Did somebody jilt you? Well, did they break your heart?
You could say it was also out of concern. She just, you know.
Yeah, but like, you know, that's another thing. So that wasn't what I just, all I wanted was
like a hug.
My mom, yes.
Oh, my daughter, you're home. Oh, yeah.
This early, are you okay? Okay. Ah, yes. Have you, you know,
I
didn't want her to start asking me weird questions. Mm-hmm. And then I was crying. Mm-hmm. And then she goes, don't let your daddy see you crying. No, you know, you've seen me, your mother. I don't cry. Have you ever seen me cry? You know, why are you crying? Like, I was weak. Talking about this gets me very emotional. So yeah, so I was like, why am I like, really? And then I just stayed with them for a few. My plan was to be there to probably my dad goes to work and everything, but I just stayed for a while. And then I was like, you know what? I own my shit. Let me just go.
This is not where I should have
gone. You know,
to.
And then.
All right.
Don't worry, Kiki will talk. I'll pick up later.
Yeah, so you mentioned something about the color of your room.
Yeah.
I noticed that when I got, like, my room was, I think, cream, which was what we met when we entered the house, you know, the landlord and everything. And we were always kind of scared to change some things in the house. Like, the landlord might not like if you change it. But we're like, this is our house. We're the ones paying for the rent. So I just thought, I'm like, well, F it. I'd always wanted to get wallpapers for my room. And not just like plain colored wallpapers. This type that had like designs and stuff. And I found the perfect color. Purple with white. And ever since I installed that wallpaper, I swear. And it's like, every time I step into my room, there's this kind of aura.
Relief, like, oh, I'm home.
It's like, this is my space. And I never really felt that way before I got the wallpaper. So I really get what you mean about the color of your room. My people might think, like, what's that? That kind of science.
That's the thing.
And I wasn't even depressed before I got the wallpaper, so feeling down. It just gave me a different outlook of my space. This is my room, right? So that goes a long way. It goes a long way. Like, these little things help.
Well, another thing that I kind of realize is, so a lot of the time, depression springs from trauma.
Yeah. I was only going to touch on that as well.
It springs, see, as much as we always don't want to admit it, the way we grew up, the kind of things we saw growing up, the kind of things that happened to us growing up, you might not know that those things are having any effect on you till you're much older. And then you have to make, like, serious decisions.
Yeah.
You understand? So for me, it was maybe my relationship with my mom. Mm-hmm. It wasn't, I have a lot of friends. So I see how some of my friends are with their mothers. And like, I'm not saying that Nigerian mothers will be Nigerian mothers, clearly.
Yeah, forever.
Mine was a different species of Nigerian mothers. Let me just put it that way. So it took me time to find that peace where I'm like, okay, she did what, I can't go into details of the things that happened to my mother, sorry, but in my head, I tell myself that she did what she understood, she did what she knew,
right.
Exactly. If she had known better, she probably would have done better. And then I realized something about parenting as well. I don't have kids, but from my own experience, I realized that when you're a parent, you feel like you're doing the best thing.
Yeah, you feel like it's a journey of learning.
Yes, you feel like, oh, I'm being the best parent I can be, but to your child, you're doing shit.
And sometimes it might be the other way around. So to you, you might feel like you're doing a crappy job, and to your child, you're fantastic. So you need to
communicate, like, always find a way to. Don't be that parent that puts ego in everything. Like, who are you? You're my child. I shouldn't be talking to you.
360 degrees performance.
Do you understand? Like, just.
Bounce it off your child and ask your child once in a while. Yeah,
try to get into your child's head and know how your child feels about your style of parenting.
Mm-hmm.
And all, because these things, they cause trauma that can be long lasting. Long
term, daddy issues.
Thank you. Somehow, I found myself looking for solace in people outside my home. Like, when I have a boyfriend, he's like everything. Mm. I want to, like, at some point, it will look like you're choking a person because you don't have anywhere else to, because you feel like that's where the love is.
You need to spread it out. Do you understand? Spread out the emotions. This person, that person.
Thank you. So you feel like, oh, that's where the real love is. Let me pour it on him and everything. And not every guy, yeah, there might be some guys that can deal with that, but not every guy, especially in this generation, can handle such level of responsibility for emotions.
Yeah.
So a lot of things, like in school, after I finished secondary school, I got into uni late, like 2 years after I graduated. I finished secondary school at 16. I didn't get into uni till I was 18. So I spent 2 years at home with my mother. Do you understand? So then after uni, so I've had my fair share of failing at a lot of things.
Yeah.
It's not because I'm dumb or I'm a dull person, but I never really had that. So every single decision that I made, most of the time, I had to make them by myself.
Yeah.
Like, when I wanted to get into uni, my parents wanted me to go to UNN.
Okay.
This whole thing, even from secondary school, because when I was in GS3, you know, when you're going to senior secondary, they tell you to pick sciences, commercial. Mm, I wanted arts. To go to art class. My father was like, what? What do you want to do? I was like, I told him I wanted to do theater arts or law. And then he was like, what? So after everything, that's what I want to do. Because I was very, very good when I was younger. Like, I was very intelligent. So it was like, so I want to go and waste myself.
That was the irony of this life now. So people that are in arts, are they not doing fantastic?
That was the response I got. And then I found myself in science class. I was doing good. Really? Yes. All my siblings were in science.
Your degree is not even a... You even went to commercial class.
No, I was in science. I went to science class.
Interesting.
So my that's the thing. Even people that know me now would be surprised that somebody like me was in science class. Because, what are you doing? Do you understand? I was doing good. That's the thing. Because I was smart, I was doing good. But I felt like I could have done better if I was where I wanted to be.
Oh, definitely.
So that one was another situation. After finishing secondary school, they wanted me to do
master.
Go to UNN. No, they wanted me to go to
University of secondary Osuka. School and then UNN.
Yeah, because my siblings all went to UNN. Like, my siblings before me went to UNN. So it was like a trend.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you go to UNN and everything. One of my brothers actually wanted to go to UNN, but it never worked out for him. And he's like the geek in the house. He was topping jam every single year, but it never worked out. So at some point, I kept writing post-jam in UNN and I wasn't getting in. My parents, their own was write jam. Go to UN and do your post-jam. They never ever took it a step further. Like, okay, this one that you're not getting into UN, what's the next thing? You know, like, what's the next? They never, it was me by myself that decided that, man, this thing is not working for me.
So you feel all that contributed
to... Yes, I've had to make tough, life-changing decisions.
At ages that you...
That I felt like, have. Yes.
Yeah.
So it took these things I didn't know that they had like a role to play in, you know, getting me to the point where...
Post-trauma.
PTSD, yeah.
So my friend had that as well. And her own was based on it. Her experience. I can't talk about it, obviously, because it's not my story to tell. Mm-hmm. But it was something that happened years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Years ago. Maybe during her NYSC. and then one random day she just broke down. Years after, she would just start that morning, and the next thing she just like burst into tears. Like, it was, everybody was just like, what's going on? And then she's someone that doesn't, she rarely cries. She has, she's emotional, but she's a tough cookie. Let me use that word. She's a soft, tough cookie. So that day, I was worried. I was like, what happened? Like, you were fine 2 seconds ago, registering, and then all of a sudden you just,
that's,
you
know.
And she had been having like, she couldn't sleep. She said she was having trouble sleeping for some days. She used to bring it up in our conversations before she cried that day, but we just thought maybe we were just uncomfortable, maybe we were just having bad dreams and stuff. But realized when we talked to her and sat her down, realized that it was based on what happened to her years ago. So it was like it was just compiling, and it was like a rush of emotions.
Exactly.
Yeah. So
like, when I grew older, and then I figured that, man, like, I don't want to be strong again. Like, yeah.
Like, to feel all the feels.
Yes. Like, I don't. Then I have had, see, one day, maybe my balls will be strong enough for me to talk about the kind of relationships I've had. Mm. But I've had really, really terrible relationships, like, with people that God knows that I shouldn't have met them or even had any experience with them.
Relationship as in romantic or even romantic, friendship? With
both. Friendship, male, female. Like, I've had horrible experiences, and trust me, those things have a way of messing with you.
Of course it does.
So I'd say people should try as much as possible not to set out hurting people's feelings, because you don't know the kind of harm you're causing to someone. Like you could push people into severe heartache, and they wouldn't know how to snap out of
it. I think it's because suicide itself is not rampant here in Nigeria.
Yeah, it is.
When I say it's not rampant, it's not as talked
acceptable,
about
acceptable, yes,
as it is abroad. Mm-hmm. So, because if it is, the way people treat people in this part of the
get
world,
better.
If it is, if it was, the amount of stories you hear about suicide will be back to back to back to back.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think it's that kind of that mentality that, oh, Nigerians, we are tough. We can, if we can handle politics and handle the issues of Nigeria, we can handle anything.
Suffer and smile.
What's toughen up? Or boy, what's your problem? Hard guy now. Biggest. But men are allowed to cry.
Everybody is allowed to cry
because living in Nigeria alone, it's testing your mental state. So I was working somewhere and I just resigned recently. Why did I resign? I was actually promoted before I resigned. Like a month before I resigned, I was promoted. But I realized that it's not money, because even the promotion gone safe. You go spend the money go finish. After that time, you're still going to go to work every day. Are you happy with where you're going to? I was literally mentally depressed.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, mentally, it was like a toxic environment for me, and it was every day of.
And trust me, toxic workplace is the worst.
The worst thing, because you're like tied down. You're like, if you leave, how are you going to feed yourself?
Exactly.
And I decided to just close my eyes and say, if now you're still single, you don't really have that
much
responsibilities. That if you leave your job, everybody will be like, are you selfish? What about the mouth you're feeding? And I took that step and I resigned, because I realized that my mental health is more important than anything else.
Mm-hmm.
And I wake up every morning and I feel really, really good. Before, I wake up in the morning, I'm like, oh God, today's Monday. Oh, when is it going to be Friday? And I hated that feeling,
mm-hmm.
because I liked what I was doing, but I just didn't like where I was.
Mm-hmm.
So those little things can be very, very like detrimental to our health. You
mm-hmm.
can't just say, oh, you can't resign. Money, what about the money? You need to ask, why do you want to resign?
Yeah, with me. If I has chill.
I
don't have chill, because me,
you have made that
own, left
you.
I'm the kind of person. That's the thing. When you realize the kind of person that you are, for me, I started realizing that these are the things that trigger me into my depressed state. So if I'm at a job and it's not serving me, I go to work and I cry in the office. My darling, the next day, you won't see me at that office. So I'm sorry. Shout out to my former bosses. I literally, the day before I resigned, I cried in the office. I can't really remember what exactly happened.
Mm.
But it was just, the environment was just too tense for me.
Yeah.
The boss comes in and everybody's jittery.
You're going there every day. The only time you don't go there is twice in a week.
Do you understand?
Nah.
One Monday morning, I woke up and I was like, you know what? I'm not having it. I did not see. I didn't think about the salary. I didn't think about anything. I didn't think about, oh, you're not going to have a job. Why are you getting, I'm not, my chill is not up to that. I didn't bother going to work that day. And it was a relief for me because it was like, oh, I tackled one of the things that was making me.
Touched yourself from it.
Do you understand? So for me, I feel like people need to like listen more. Not be so judgmental.
Yeah, listen before you talk or before you prefer a solution. Listen. Because most people, they just need you to listen.
Yeah. Babe, I've been suicidal before.
I'm not surprised.
Yeah, I have. Like, and when it happened, it was really tough for me because I'd had like a bout of different wrong scenarios that happened from friends, from my relation, like it was like everything just came down
at the same time.
On my head at the same time. So I was like, what is it? This life, there's really nothing. Like, okay, you wake up every day, what are you looking forward to? There's nothing to look forward to. At the end of the day, I'm going to die. So why don't I just make it earlier? That was what was going through my mind. I'm not joking. So that day, I picked up my phone. I called my best friend. She didn't pick up. I called another best friend. I have two best friends, guy and girl. He didn't pick up. I think I called one more person. Then I called my dad. So it was my dad that I didn't tell him anything, but he could hear that there was something wrong. And then he was like, oh, are you okay? Like, you don't sound good and everything. I was like, daddy, I'm fine. And then he was like, oh, are you sure that, do you need anything? Do you want to come and get something from, like, he just, for some reason, he asked me questions, but that day in particular, he was just so different. And then in my head, I was like, because I love my dad so much, and I was like, oh, no, I can't do this, because I had the pills in front of me. And he was like, okay, that. Hope I'm fine and everything. I should have a beautiful day. And just hearing my dad's voice just changed everything for me. And then I packed everything. There was nobody with me. I packed everything and then I threw the pills away. In my head, I was like, I had two best friends. Like, nobody was there. And funny thing is, before that period, I talked about it so much, but nobody was listening to me. So at the end of the day, I had to go to the hospital. I got drugs, medications. The medicine was making me numb, like I wasn't feeling anything. But I think it kind of made my mood worse because anytime the effect of the medicine wears off, I start to feel funny again. I know. So I had to talk to my elder brother. He's a doctor as well.
So was this before, after you were diagnosed?
This was... They had diagnosed me. They gave me medication, but I wasn't taking it.
Okay.
Then after, I was like, I can't remember who I talked to. I think it was my brother. And he was like, if you're not feeling well and they give you medicine, you have to take it. So I started taking it. Then I got therapy as well. And then I talked. So what I did for therapy was I picked, because they give you options where you can pick either a religious therapist. Or you pick, they'll should give you options. So I picked somebody that was neutral, not religious, not because I didn't want to hear all that. God would not be happy with you. I didn't want to hear any of this.
Just wanted objective opinions.
So I talked to me, told me. That was where I realized that a lot of the things that were happening to me were traumas from my childhood, from the way I grew up, and then my relations with people. So sometimes people wonder why I don't like going out or I don't like mixing a lot. But that's one of the reasons. I always try to avoid making new friends because I'm very friendly. And when I make a new friend, I go over the top.
Yeah.
But not everybody has that kind of aura. You start finding yourself making friends with the wrong people.
Yeah.
So I avoid it like totally. And also, me personally, I don't take depression statements as a joke. I find them very, very, when you make jokes about people being depressed, or you just randomly open your mouth and say you're depressed, it makes me angry because I'm like,
You're downplaying it.
It's really, really tough for a lot of people. I can't go into details of the things that trigger me and all of that, but I've been there. And trust me, money cannot make you not to be depressed. Having the finest things, you can just have finished having beautiful time out with your friends and everything, and you get back home.
Mothers that new mothers, sorry for cutting you short. New mothers, they just have like the perfect baby, end up having being depressed for a couple of months after. They can't even connect to the child.
You can't realize it when somebody comes to ask you, tell you, oh, I'm not feeling good, I feel like I'm depressed. You be like, ask a question. Don't just say, ah, why are you depressed? Oh, it's because you don't have money, job. Oh, all of us are depressed. No, yeah, don't do that.
That's a statement with lots of Nigerians make. All of us are depressed.
Some people don't have the emotional threshold for some kind of response.
Everybody's the same.
You need to ask, oh, okay, so what do you want to do? Like me, somebody comes up to me to tell me, oh, I'm depressed and everything. The first thing I would say is, I can try to understand how, I might not understand fully how you're feeling, but I can try to understand how you're feeling. Have you tried to talk to somebody? So do you think you have anything that triggers you to get to this point? Don't you think you should try to avoid those things? I wouldn't judge you. I won't even tell you that, oh, I've been depressed before. No, I won't say that to you, because that's like me now shadowing your own. Yes. Ask questions, like be soft on the person.
Sensitive.
Yes, because you don't really, that might be your last time of talking to the person.
Yeah, that's very true.
You never really know what people are going through. Some people just have a very good portfolio of their outward look.
Deep down inside, they're going through a lot.
Do you understand?
I think it's not even rocket science. I think even if there's nothing like depression, you should just treat people the way you want to be treated. Uh-huh. Right? I think we need to be more sensitive about even the most mundane, quote unquote, things that you feel this cannot affect somebody now. It can affect somebody else.
Smallest things. Yes, it might just be something you said or something you did, or like, I can't say I'm perfect and I've not said the wrong things to people.
Of course.
I'm the kind of person that always tries as much as possible to apologize if I've offended somebody genuinely. Do you understand? Because you'd never know how much
what you said
affected the person.
Yeah, very true.
People need to stop trivializing depression. Just stop it like entirely, because it's not even the way to go.
I think it's being less trivialized.
And then people should be open, because I feel like a lot of people, a friend of mine had someone close to her that had bipolar disorder.
That's another thing.
And people don't feel like it's a problem.
People don't feel like it is a thing here in this part of the country. But to be honest, I've actually never met anyone with bipolar.
But you've met people that this minute mood they're swings, behaving normal.
Mood
the next
swings,
minute they're acting
swings,
crazy.
Yeah.
Thank you.
We call it
those things happen. And my friend is like that. She was talking to the babe and everything, and she was like, people don't want to accept that something like this could be wrong with someone. Do you understand? Like, Nigerians need to be open to all these things. Be open to the fact that people actually battle a lot with mental health. If you're a business owner or you're a boss or something, be sensitive about your environment, your work environment. Try to be sure that your staff is doing fine, or your staffs are doing fine, or rather your staff are doing fine. Be sure that everything that they need. Do you understand? And then
the basic thing,
if you're a friend, except you don't really value the friendship, then you let the other person know. Don't trivialize it when a friend of yours comes to tell you that, oh, this is what is happening to me, this is how I'm feeling and everything. Try as much as possible to understand where they are coming from and offer valuable help.
Yeah.
Don't just start saying, oh, you'll be fine. That you'll be fine statement is very stupid and annoying.
I know how you feel. Me, I even need to learn from that, saying I know how you feel, because I know I've said it many times. But yeah, we all have a lot to learn, and by the grace of God, I think every every hospital should have a section of for mental health. Like, at least they have like a,
I think they actually attend. They have psychiatrists. That's the thing. When you tell people that you're going to see a psychiatrist, yes, they will tell you are mad.
I have a friend as a psychiatrist, and somebody was asking me for her rate, and I was quite impressed. I'm like, it's true.
They're actually there, but we don't use them enough.
It needs to be more, you know,
accepted, so people can feel free to come out when they feel some type of way. You don't start treating them all like they're crazy or there's something wrong with them.
Well, I think people are getting better at that too. I think now if someone says something like that in an environment where maybe like
exposed people, people look at you funny,
give them like, are you okay? Do you know what mental health is all about? So I think people are getting more aware of it here in Nigeria and accepting that it is something that can happen to anybody and everybody.
And last advice is protect your peace. You see anything that would make you not have peace of mind? It's easier said than done.
It is, but for me, resigning was like you
protecting your peace.
I don't have the best job yet. I'm not making money like the way I want to. The benefits that I've lost, I'm not yet getting there. But I have my peace of mind, and that is, to me,
that's gold.
That is gold. That is very, 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 very important, and something that can never be bought with money.
Part of everything, human being, non-human being, anything that affects your peace, just cut it off. There's a thin line between being sad and being depressed. And there's a thin line between being depressed and being suicidal. So whatever you can do, just avoid being sad at all costs, because that's where it all starts
from. And Jenny, what's the name of the, if you don't mind, the name of the hospital?
I went to the one at Yaba. Normal Yaba one,
What's the real name? Because I don't like when people call it Yaba Lift.
It's a Yaba psychiatric hospital. Nice. But you know, because it's government, you need to get a referral.
But so I like how they gave you everything you need. That's really good. Yeah, I don't think people know that their services are that top-notch.
Me, personally, everybody's always attacking me, but me, I like government hospitals. Because I feel like they have specialists that attend to you properly.
That's true.
I'm not a fan of... I'm sorry. I feel like private hospitals, they do a lot of trial and error. No,
spending money.
Exactly. Aside the money itself, it's trial and error for me. So I don't want anybody. I'm already sad. I don't want anybody to come and start using me too. But the therapist I used was different.
Okay.
So I used a different. I might send the link to you later.
Okay, and we'll post that on the caption. So anybody that wants, that needs to. If you know anybody that might need it, might not be you. Like, spread the word, really. Just spread the word. We'll put all those details in the caption. And we hope it helps somebody. And just be kind.
Send a message. Like, you never know how much somebody else has experienced what you're experiencing.
Exactly. Like, so I didn't know how much Jenny had experienced it. I'm just finding out now.
It's not something I like to talk about.
But I think talking about it can help somebody else. So be kind. I think that's just the main takeaway for today, is to be kind. Be kind to people, and it's like a cycle. People will be kind to you. Everyone is kind to each other. I don't think there'll be any sadness in the world, really. There wouldn't be. So that's that for today. Until next time, take care.